I'm Allison Jacobson, a transformational coach for women in midlife who are ready to rediscover who they were before they took on the roles of mom, partner, caregiver, and manager of everyone in the family. Women who are ready to live out their dreams but don't know or are afraid to take those first steps. I want to help you make midlife the time when you achieve all of your goals. So let's get started. This is a really special interview for me because I'm having somebody back for the second time. I've never done this before on my podcast, so I'm really excited. Bernadette Catalana, I don't even remember how we met, but we met almost a year ago, probably longer now. She is the author of a book, Daughter Lessons. And when you read this book, and I highly encourage everyone to get it, it just speaks to everyone out there about relationships. And this is what it's about. And this is going to be a very real, honest conversation, not just about our relationships with our daughters, but our relationships with our moms. So welcome back, Bernadette.
Oh, so good to see you, Allison. And I remember how we met on Instagram.
Oh my gosh, isn't that
crazy? Somehow we started following each other. And then, you know, then we connected. And then after we did the podcast, we had lunch, remember?
Yes.
And it's been great. And we've been supporting each other. And I've been in awe of how much you are doing and how your presence has expanded in what you're doing to support women and help women support themselves. It's amazing to see.
Well, thank you. And I do know there's a lot of bad about social media, but I always say there is still good. You meet people, you connect with people that you never would have before. And then meeting them in real life is really cool. So let's talk a little bit about the book and what's in the book, because where you came from and where you are now, I'd love you to tell that story a little bit.
Well, the book Daughter Lessons really was my way of trying to leave some kind of legacy for my children as they were, you know, at the time that it started. And my thoughts were coalescing into, I need to write this down. My children were at a point where they were becoming independent. And I thought, gosh, I'm going to be living without them every day. You know, our relationship is going to change by necessity because they're adults. And then I thought, well, there's going to become a day when I'm not going to see them at all. And they're not going to see me probably more specifically. And what's that like? I mean, I felt that I really didn't know my mother. And I think that maybe many people feel that way, maybe of our generation. I do feel like my kids know me more or knew me more. And now that I've written the book, I think they know me even better, although I haven't tested them. I'm not sure how closely they've read it. But I will say I have written down for them things that I would want to know about my mom and lessons that I would have wanted to learn about my mom and what she thought about things. So these are things that I was trying in a way to heal some of the things that I thought weren't exactly quite what I wanted them to be in my relationship with my mother. And part of that is being one of seven children is very different than being one of two children or three children. There just wasn't enough to go around. And the fact that my mom was a single mother, was really struggling financially and personally with her self-esteem for much of the rest of her life as a result of her divorce from my dad, you know, that was a thing too. So I feel like the healing can be generational, right? We can heal things that hurt us in our relationship with our parents by healing it with our own children. And I think that Daughter Lessons has certainly done that for me. And it's also opened up many, many conversations in the past year with people who have read the book, and it has been just a wild and amazing ride. I'm so happy with how things have turned out. I really am.
Maybe we can delve a little bit into your relationship with your mom and where you came from and where you've ended up.
Sure. I think it's funny because that's evolving. As I define myself as my mother's daughter today, it's different than it was even 12 months ago when we first talked. And it's different now than it was 6 months ago. My mom died actually on October 6th. So we're coming up on the 6 month mark, and you realize that's a big one. Losing your mom, losing either parent is certainly a significant event, but you realize so many thoughts come to you. And I realize more today than I realized even a month ago about what that relationship is and how complicated it is and how central it is to who we become. And as I look at it, I recently did a reading of my book, and I was looking through some of the entries I wrote, and one in particular always comes into my mind was about carrying the groceries. So after my mom became a single mother, my father left us for his secretary, which is what is that? That's the quintessential burn, and left my mother with seven children and left her without a car. She didn't know how to drive. So she, even if he had left a car, she wouldn't have known how to drive it anyway. But when you think about that logistically, forget the heartache. How do you get groceries home for eight people without a vehicle? You know, that really wasn't thought out very well. And so my little sister and I used to have to go to the grocery store with my mom and walk back with the groceries. And my mom would have, you know, more bags than we did, but I remember my arms aching and remember how heavy it was and thinking, oh my gosh, are we going to make it? This was a big ordeal. But as I look back on it, I think that was really symbolic of the fact that I carried my mother's sorrow with me through much of my life. And that was really hard. And I don't resent her for that. I just don't know that she knew the price that we paid for her sadness and for her shame, because it was our shame too. And so I realized that a lot of the things I wrote about, and I tried to be as upbeat as possible. That's really kind of my signature writing style. Even when I'm writing about hard things, I try to make it as light. And I don't say that in a trite way, but we have so many heavy things. I try to put a perspective on it that maybe brings some lightness to it. But I noticed that there were some things that I wrote about, like that story, which had, like an onion, had many layers to it. And so even as I look back on what I wrote, I might look at it differently. And going to this Nashville book club at the beginning of the month was an interesting perspective for me, because I was reading my words and thought, oh, wow. When I was writing this, I thought it meant one thing, like my arms were aching and the heaviness was that. And now I'm looking back on it thinking, well, there was other heaviness going on. So it's really interesting how we can re-examine something with a different perspective and having just a totally different look at it. And, you know, I'm trying to have no judgment. Feelings are feelings. Experiences are experiences. But how can I benefit from this? How can I grow from it? How can I learn?
And that is just really powerful of the forgiveness, of the understanding. I had a different, my mom is still alive. She lives with us. And I'm so happy that my daughters have had that experience of having my mom here too. But when I went through my divorce, I mean, you know, I lost my son to SIDS. I went through a divorce. I've been through a lot. My son has intellectual disabilities. And I think about that burden that my daughters have carried. And how did that transform them? And I do find myself sometimes asking for their forgiveness because I don't know how that impacted them. And I especially worry about how that's going to impact their relationships going forward. How much of this did your daughters know before you wrote this?
I feel like a lot of things they knew intuitively just from knowing me. We are very close and have always been very close. We've always maintained communication. When I was getting ready for the Nashville Book Club, I was having Courtney help me. So I was reading some of the selections out loud to her. I was practicing a little bit. And she said to me, "Wow, I never really heard that passage that way, or I never really hearing you read it is different than reading what you've written on the paper and hearing your voice." So I thought, wow, that puts another wrinkle to it as well. And yeah, I feel that. I feel like, wow, how much have I foisted upon my children? Because much of my life mothering them has also at the same time been in pursuit of trying to mother myself and trying to lead myself into a place where I can be a whole person. And I will say I've done a lot of work. I've spent a lot of time really trying to get to know myself. And maybe in the end, that's the example that we leave for our children, is not that we were perfect. I think there's far too much stress on perfection today. I know I was beating myself up. So this is my third, maybe my fourth Zoom call today. And as soon as I got to the office, now I have a luncheon today. So I wore a really nice dress and it has this little like keyhole thing here. But as soon as I got on my first call, I thought, why did I wear that? And I literally was going to go home, jump on the subway, go home and change. And then I thought, you know what? Perfection is overrated. I did not pick the most zoomable outfit to wear today. But does that make it bad? Does that make me a loser? No, I need to forgive myself. I think so many of us judge ourselves so harshly. And we would give other people a pass in a second. If you said, "Oh yeah, I don't, I mean, you look lovely and you have a lovely necklace on, et cetera." But I mean, if you are wearing what I have, would I say, "Oh my gosh, Allison, I cannot believe you wore that." But I was beating myself up totally.
Well, and here's what's so funny. And by the way, you look fabulous, but I'm looking at your hair saying, "Oh my God, her hair looks great," and I'm having a bad hair day. And so, yeah, we're we're so hard on ourselves. And, you know, I think about daughter lessons and what I hope to leave my daughters with. And one of the things I think I'm most proud of my daughters about is their self-reliance and their self-sufficiency. Because of my experiences and my husband having MS, they've had to be self-sufficient. And so my daughter the other day, her back taillight was out. She went and bought a taillight and installed it herself. And I'm like, wow, that's what I want. That's figured out how to set up Roth IRAs. Now, keep in mind, my one daughter's a freshman in college. My other's a senior in college. So they're still relatively young.
Wow.
I think they're always worried about burdening me because they know how much I do. But I've always said, I just want them to feel secure in themselves and know that they can stand on their own two feet. And I guess for that, I am really proud.
Oh, you have to be. Wow, the taillight. I don't even know where to begin.
I know.
Roth IRA. All of that. And yes, and I think especially I love hearing about the financial acumen of young women.
Yeah.
Any woman who's listening to this podcast, if you walk away from this podcast with nothing, you need to take control of your financial future. It's extremely important. I have a law degree. I have been a lawyer for 28 years. I think something like that. 28 years. Yep, that's right. And I have been very grateful because I have been able to afford. I mean, it's believe me, you it's not like doctors, and even being a doctor's income, people have ideas like, oh my gosh, that's so much money. It really is not. There's lots of other ways to make money, but it has afforded me a nice living, and I've been able to send my children to good schools. And my daughter Courtney was a professional ballet dancer, which any dancer mom knows there's a lot of lessons and a lot of tutus and a lot of tiaras, and they cost a lot of cash. So all of those things I've been able to do, but it really has not been until the past 5 years that I have gotten myself together financially. Not that it was bad. I was never irresponsible, but I never took the bull by the horns. And I see my daughters talking to me about, hey, mom, you know, I opened up this brokerage account so that I can buy stocks. I'm like, I love hearing that. And I've learned some of that along with them. And now it's interesting. I had a recent conversation with a very dear friend who's 10 years younger, and we were traveling together. We actually had spent a month together on a trial. And she had mentioned something about, I don't have a financial advisor. I don't have a plan, and maybe I should get a plan together. And she makes good money. She's also a lawyer. And I thought, wow, why is that? And I've asked my male friends, I have said, how is it that you knew how to do certain things in your life? And a very, very close friend, he's almost like a brother to me, said, well, from the moment I was old enough, my dad taught me how to save money and how to invest money and how to think about things and how to, and I thought, wow, we need to do that for our girls.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny that you say that, because every January I run an online course, self-study, called Confidence Equals Cash. Because so many, and the reason I started it as an online course is so many of my coaching clients, whether it's divorce, whether it's death, whatever, all of a sudden they are responsible for their money and they don't have a clue. And they may pay the bills, but are they doing the investing? Are they even understanding what it is? And you're right. It's a big challenge. And it's the money stories young girls were told, especially our generation, of leave that to the men, leave that to dad. Dad handles the business end of life. And it is, it's all those money stories that men never had. And so there's two women I follow. One, she wrote a book called, it's Tiffany the Budgetista. She's amazing. And another is The Financial Feminist. And both of them, I would say, are more geared towards our daughters' ages of 20s and 30s. And it's, it really is so important. And I think, you know, going back to our relationships with our moms, there is a lot of forgiveness that needs to happen. I was the first in my family to go to college, and my mom always feels so bad because she didn't know how to guide me. She didn't know what colleges to look at. And I'm like, Mom, how could you have? That wasn't even something you understood. And so I think as women, I just don't think it's as much as men. We always have that guilt of something we did wrong with our daughters or with our moms. And man, that guilt just burdens us so much.
You know, it does. And I saw it in my own mom. She was just short of her 91st birthday when she died. And she was clinging to life in a way that I know her caregivers were amazed at the fact that she was still going. She had suffered so many broken back, a broken pelvis, a broken shoulder. It was surreal, all the things that she had endured. But I was convinced one of the reasons she was clinging to life was because she felt like she had failed. She felt like because her husband left her, that she had failed of her essential purpose in her life. And she would talk about my dad. My father had left us 40 years before, and she was still talking about it as if it just happened. And I'm telling you, it was so sad. And I remember being with her this summer, this past summer, so June of 2023, and thinking, you know, as women, isn't it true? So much of our history is our story, and it's the story we tell ourselves. And here, my mother, who had raised seven children, who was directly responsible for 45 people being on this earth, seven children, 19 grandchildren, 19 great-grandchildren, who was beloved, who went to mass every single day, who prayed for anyone who asked her to pray for them, who meant so much to so many people. She felt like she was a failure. And I thought, this is breaking my heart. So even though she never heard any of the words, I thought, I am going to write my mother's story over again. And I am going to make her a hero in her story so that she is the star of her story. And, you know, she never, you know, she, even if she was prescient at the time, I didn't share them with her. She wasn't prescient, so it really wasn't, it probably would not have done anything. But I did write those stories, and I wrote probably 15 entries in my journal every day. You know, every few days I wrote them over the summer. And I know it was very healing for me because I wanted to see my mom as a hero. I wanted to see her as the heroine of her own story, because she really was. Think about it. She was clinically depressed. There is no doubt about it. She was clinically depressed. I remember her coming home from her work, being able to feed some of us. My older siblings were kind of fending for themselves. They were in their, you know, in their teens. But she would, after she had discharged that duty, she would just sit or lay down on the couch, and she would not move. And we would try to help her go to bed. And we'd say, "Mom, let's help you." And even my friends, so sweet. I'm still friends with the girls that I went to grammar school with. And I've seen them, and we've stayed in touch. And they'll say, "Oh, we remember your mom. We remember trying to help her, you know, go to bed and get some rest." And she wouldn't do it. She just wanted to stay where she was and never got help at the time. But you know what? She survived it. There isn't a passing grade. You don't get a pass fail for heartache. You either survive it or you don't survive it. And she did survive it. And she raised children that by and large have been successes in the world and are good parents. I would say all of my siblings are excellent parents, and the grandchildren are good. They're good children. We have children that we're proud of, and many of them are now parents, and they're good parents. So my mom, in my mind, is a complete success, and she has had so much to be proud of. So I guess the forgiveness goes both ways or goes every which way, right? So we want our children to forgive us, right? We need to forgive our children for not necessarily always appreciating what we do for them, because there are those moments.
Oh, yeah.
And our children can wound us in a way that no one else on the planet can, because we love them so, the depth of our love is so much. But I think now, was I a good daughter? I should have done more. I could have done more for my mom. I could have understood her more. And she probably is thinking, oh, I wish I was stronger. I wish I could have been, you know, given more guidance. So in the end, I think it's all about us just having the ability to give grace, not only to the prior generation, but to the generation, you know, below us, and also, and probably most importantly, to ourselves.
So well said, because you're right. It goes every which way. And I love that you rewrote her story to make her the heroine. And one of the things I always talk about is we need to rewrite our own stories to be heroines, because we don't believe we are so often. Bernadette, thank you so much for sharing this. I will put everything in the show notes, but Daughter Lessons, where can people go to buy it?
Amazon, amazon.com. And yes, I appreciate you mentioning the book. It was a labor of love that has brought me so much love and amazing connections. And it really is, it is a book about connections. And it just goes to show what we give out, we get back a thousandfold. And this book has taught me that. And I really hope in my deepest heart that all that you do to support women and help women support themselves comes back to you. And I know it will.
Bernadette, thank you so much. And everyone, have a great week.